Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. Once again, you know, I hope everyone's having a very blessed last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And while, you know, it always is a little kind of bittersweet in these times because you're thinking about how little time is left and how much time has gone by. But it's important to remember at the same time that we do have some very precious, time left here in the month of Ramadan. So we try to make the most of it. So alhamdulillah, we're here with another session on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, seeking from Allah, where Ustad Abdurrahman, enlightens us on some of the du'as of the great prophets of God in the Quran, and we try to derive lessons from there, inshallah. So I'm going to hand it off to Ustad, and Ustad, please take it away.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I hope the audio, I just fixed the audio for Instagram, so let's see. Sheikh, yours is buffering a little bit. There we go. Okay. Hopefully the audio is good. Tonight we have, we've been going over, you know, the past few nights, different emotions that are fueling the dua of different prophets in the Quran. We had Adam alayhi salam, Ibrahim had a couple. Last night we had Ayyub. And tonight we're going to do the story of one of my favorites, which is Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, his story is, again, very remarkable, and in a lot of ways, it's kind of even shocking. When you hear the story, when you look at it in the Quran, and you see through the different narrations, something that happened to him that, again, we're not used to hearing about with prophets, right? We're not used to hearing about that with prophets, but when you read more and you study more about the lives of the prophets, you realize, again, that they were perfect in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they were also human beings. And in those moments, they had very like real moments. And in those moments, there's a lot of connectedness that we can feel with them, alayhim as-salam. And so the emotion tonight that we wanted to highlight from Prophet Yunus was the emotion of humility, the emotion of an individual returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after realizing, having a realization. Right, coming to a realization. The story about Prophet Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala details it for us in Surah As-Saffat, and also in Surah Al-Anbiya. So chapter number 37, and the dua itself is found in chapter number 21. So the story itself, if you want to look through the story, 37 and 139, and it goes through all the way to about 148. So if you have a mushaf and you want to open that up, so 37.
Surah number 37?
Yeah, 37. And the ayat are 139 through 148.
I got you.
And then the actual dua itself will be 2187.
I'll pull up the 2187. Okay.
Yeah. So the backstory is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Prophet Yunus to the people of Nineveh, which was Nineveh in English. And even this is even confirmed and mentioned to us by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself in the famous story of Al-Ta'if, that Nineveh was a great city. It was like a metropolis, you know, kind of like large city. But it became, obviously, as with all cities that needed prophets, as with all people that were sent prophets, it became a city that was very devoid of virtue and mention of God. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Yunus to the people of Nineveh. And when he got there, he preached to these people and he spent a long time with them. And again, when we look at when we talk about, you know, it's kind of interesting because sometimes we're like, he spent time with them, he preached them. But I want everyone to imagine the prophets of God all had beautiful character. They all had, you know, beautiful delivery in their messages. They all were people who Allah Ta'ala chose them for a reason. So when we imagine Prophet Yunus spending time with the people of Nineveh, you know, preaching to them, teaching them, we're not imagining just somebody who's kind of like, hey, do you guys want to, are you guys interested? No, okay. Or, hey guys, come on, get it together. Like, it's not like that. He's coming to these people and he's heartfelt in his approach. He's heartfelt. He's working really hard at it. And he really, really wants nothing more than these people to turn back to Allah and to be guided. But over time, they reject him. They reject him time and time again, numerous times. And so Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam, he does something at this moment that, again, this is like the interesting moment, that he does something that ends up being one of the sources and the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can teach us this lesson in bringing Yunus back to him. He ends up becoming so frustrated and so just, you know, absolutely, you know, done with the rejection of his people, that he just leaves them, that he abandons them. And he basically says that I'm no longer going to be with you people. And he leaves them off and lets them be, and says that they are going to get what they deserve, right? It's just, he's given his time. He's tried his best. He's tried his hardest. And this is where, when you read the story of Yunus, you feel almost like a sense of connectedness. Like sometimes you want to achieve something so badly, whether it's with people or whether it's with a certain goal that you have, and you just become so disappointed and so frustrated that instead of, you know, turning to Allah at that moment and making dua, instead of, you know, sticking with it and being trying to find out different ways, different strategies, maybe you just decide, you know what, I'm just done with this, and you end up leaving. Now the issue with this, with prophets in particular, with their role, is that this leaving of a people is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give, something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant the prophets, that Allah ta'ala grants them permission to leave at the end of their role, right? This is something that we learn about when it comes to like theology, that prophets can't just leave their people. They have to be with them. This is like a joint, this is a decision that Allah ta'ala has to make on their behalf. So it's interesting, subhanAllah, he leaves the city behind. And in order to leave the city behind, he boards onto a ship. And this is where the story in the Quran kind of starts to tell us, Surah Safat, number 139, when Allah ta'ala says that Yunus was verily from amongst the messengers. That he mentions Yunus now, and he says that he was from amongst the messengers. When he ran away to a ship, he ran away and he boarded onto a ship. And on that ship, the crew, they had to draw lots because they felt that the storms were coming and that maybe there was something that they had to do in order to get these storms away from them. They felt terrified by the presence of these storms that were going to come and overturn these ships. So what they would do is they had a pagan tradition at the time that they maybe felt like, if we can sacrifice one of the people on the ship, and if we can get rid of them and almost like sacrifice them to God, right? That by sacrificing them, that these storms will stay away from us. So they became, you know, scared of these storms that were coming. And the way that they would decide who would be tossed off the ship was by drawing lots, right? We might in American culture know like drawing straws, right? So they would have like a person that was holding, you know, something, and they would have to pull it. and there was no way of visually assessing whether or not you were going to be the one. And in American culture, for example, drawing straws, whoever has the shortest straw loses, right? So they have all the straws equal. Whoever draws the shortest straw loses. So they would draw lots, and they would figure out a way in which there was like an equal way for everybody to blindly draw something. And then they would have like a system, and they would say, okay, this is who is the loser in this system, whoever draws the shortest straw, for example. So they drew these lots over again and over again. They drew it, and number one, it happened to Yunus alayhi salam. And they knew him to be obviously, you know, a good person. So they said, okay, let's try again. So they did it again, and it happened again. And they did it a third time, and it happened again. So, and this is when it became clear to everybody that this is no longer just a moment of our discretion. We are being told that there's something happening here. So they end up throwing Yunus off into the water. So Allah Ta'ala says that, you know, and he drew lots and he was amongst the losers. And then Allah Ta'ala continues and says, then the fish swallowed him. Mm. And he was the one who in that moment, Allah Ta'ala identifies him as blameworthy, right? That the fish, when he entered into the belly of the whale, that he was the one who was blameworthy in that moment. Allah Ta'ala said, this is a moment that he was going to be taught. And he says, because at that moment, right, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِلَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ, that he had he not been amongst those who had accepted Allah, had praised Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala says that he would have remained inside that belly of the whale until the day he was resurrected. Now, what is the moment, كَانَ مِلَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ? What is that moment? That moment, we find that he actually, in that moment, in the belly of the whale, had a realization, had a turning point, where he realized something about the decision that he had made. And this inspired a dua that he was going to make. So Surah Al-Anbiya 21:87, Allah Ta'ala calls him by a different name in this ayah, Wadhannun, the one of the fish, right? Which is, you know, if you know the story, it's like a nickname for him, Wadhannun, the one of the fish. That when he went off in anger, right, when he went off, ذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا, that he went off in anger, then he thought that there would be nothing that would be decreed on him as a result of that. So Allah Ta'ala is now walking us through the story in one ayah, that he left his people in anger and he thought that nothing would be there as a result of that, right? فَنَادَ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ, that he called out in the darkness of the belly of the whale, right? So now we're putting all the pieces together. La ilaha illa ant. Oh Allah, there is nothing worthy of worship except for you. Subhanaka. Right? There is, remember, musabbihin. Subhanaka. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. That verily I am amongst the wrongdoers. And this is the dua, that unit. This is the turning point, the humility of Yunus when he turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he recognizes his wrongdoing of leaving his people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of that, the Quran continues and says that he was thrown then onto an open shore. Basically, the whale then, you know, basically let him out of his belly. Allah ta'ala had commanded the whale to swallow him whole, not to destroy him. And he had been let out. And then Allah ta'ala says something interesting, that Allah ta'ala caused almost like this greenery to grow over him, much like Ayyub alayhi salam had the water that kind of, you know, healed his wounds. Yunus alayhi salam, when he was thrown out into the open shore, Allah Ta'ala describes him as saqim, wa huwa saqim, that he was ill, that he had an affliction now as a result of this. And some of the scholars, they comment and they say that this came from maybe like the stomach acid of the belly of the whale, that he was in there and it was impacting him. He didn't realize it. So Allah Ta'ala healed him and brought him back to health afterwards. And then Allah Ta'ala says, we sent him a new people of 100,000 or more, and they believed. Mm. And they believed, and so then we gave them a period of goodness, of enjoyment, إِلَى حِينَ, like for a while, that they were able to enjoy after that. So the story of Yunus, again, is interesting because there's not a lot. There's not like, we don't have like his seerah, we don't have his entire life, we don't have, but the moment that the Quran shows us is so critical, which is his dua, his prayer to Allah, is not one that is based solely in desperation or solely in trust. You know, like you know, with Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's not one like Ayyub last night was different. It was similar but different in the sense that, you know, he was being afflicted, but he didn't abandon his people. He didn't leave. This one is solely surrounding the choice that Yunus made to walk away from the people that he had been sent to. And in that decision that he made, when he was brought to the terms of his decision, when he was brought to reality with his decision, he didn't blame anybody but himself. He didn't blame anybody. And this is a prophet of God. And this is a prophet who's being rejected by people. You know, you could make the argument that his people deserved it. You could say, man, you know, he spent time with you. He taught you. You know, nobody's looking at the city of Ta'if and saying, oh, you know, the prophet should have spent more. Like, no one's seeing those. No one is blaming or putting any responsibility on the prophets, right? Because you look at the way that they're treated, you look at the rejection that they suffer, you look at the way in which their people turn them back. And you just say, what human being would be able to deal with this? And so when Yunus leaves his people, it's almost like you can kind of connect with that sheer and utter frustration. You know, sometimes life just hits you with so many things that you turn away from the responsibilities that you have from Allah. Like when you get hit with something difficult, maybe you're not in the mood to get up and pray at that moment. Maybe you're not in the mood to, like, you know, give sadaqah or go to the fundraiser or like spend time or read Quran. Like, maybe life just hits you with, you know, someone was cruel to you at work or in society or at school or a family member, and you got into an argument or a fight, and like your spiritual side is just not feeling it, right? But turning on Allah is not the response in that situation. Turning away from Allah is not the response in that situation, right? As Sheikh Ibn Nasr mentioned the other night, from the one that we run to, we don't run away from Allah, we run to Allah, right? And one of the ways that a person can really open up their du'as, this is really key, everybody, is to take ownership of the mistakes that you've made. You notice here that Yunus doesn't bring up his people at all, you know? And Ta'if, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he begins by saying, إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُ دُعْفَ كُوَّتِي. He begins by mentioning his weakness. He feels weak, right? And he says, وَقِيلَ تَحِيلَتِي, and the you know, my status amongst people is so low. Like, the way that they see me, for some reason, they're just not valuing me, right? So he doesn't blame them. He doesn't say, like, these people are horrible, can you destroy them? And he even has a chance to destroy them, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does, right? And how beautiful, actually, and interesting of a moment is that when Yunus had his moment, it was after his people turned him away. And whose name is brought up to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after his people turned him away is Yunus. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is turned away from Ta'if, Allah reminds him, Allah sends somebody, a random person, you know, a servant of a nearby vineyard, basically. Allah sends that person, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person happens to be from Nineveh, happens to be a descendant of Nineveh. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it almost like brings a smile to his face, makes him happy, because he hears about his brother Yunus, and he says, that's my brother, right? That's my brother. So Allah Ta'ala brings the story of humility to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after experiencing a rejection, just like Yunus experienced this rejection. And he says, La ilaha illa ant. Number one, he praises Allah Ta'ala. And he reminds himself, who am I dealing with here? Right? This isn't, you know, I didn't leave a post at my job. I didn't leave, you know, something that was mundane. I turned my back on Allah. I turned my back on my job with God. He told me to be with these people and I left them. La ilaha illa ant. What have I done? Right? Subhanak, how perfect you are. Right? Oh Allah, I didn't miss prayers because you were deficient. I didn't skip prayers because you made a mistake, oh Allah. You know, I haven't neglected my relationship with the Quran because of you, oh Allah. That's not why. Right? Because you were perfect the whole time. You gave me everything. You gave me life. You gave me health. You gave me rizq. You gave me all of this. Oh Allah, I missed out on this stuff because of me. Inni kuntu minal dhalimin. I made the mistake. I was the one, right? And verbalizing that, oh Allah, it's not you, it's me. I have not been a good servant because of who I am, not because of who you are, You are the most gracious and most generous, most merciful Lord. I'm the one that needs to tweak my actions, Ya Allah. That is the way in which Yunus opened up this dua through his humility. And he teaches us a huge lesson here. And then Allah Ta'ala also shows us that afterwards, that all can be recovered, not just to what it was, but even better than what it was. Hmm. When you turn back to Allah, it's not a matter of, okay, now that you've turned back, you're going to go back to where you were. No, Allah Ta'ala is so generous. If you turn back to Him, He even gives you more than you had before. He gives you more. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us people who are humble, people who have that humility. And this is one of the key characteristics, Sheikh, that I feel, and I'd like to, you know, Sheikh, be, you know, enlightened by what you have to say about the whole story and the whole process. Humility in dua and owning up to your sins, I feel like is one of the secrets to like unlocking some emotion in dua.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's one of those emotional points that people can kind of really connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh, what do you think? Can you give us something from this story?
Yeah, absolutely. MashaAllah, it was very beautifully said. And you touched on the point. There's a whole chapter named after Yunus alayhi salam, chapter number 10, surah number 10. And one of the interesting things that the scholars of tafsir mention is that there actually are a lot of parallels between the situation of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Because they both came from a very, like, you know, Nineveh that you were talking about, that was like the big kind of metropolitan city at that time, kind of like Mecca was. And it was kind of the way station. People passed through there. And he belonged to like a very large, powerful tribe, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, Quraysh. And he was born into that tribe with a very kind of esteemed family background, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And he grew up amongst them, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And then he received his mission, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And then he spent over a decade preaching to his people endlessly, tirelessly, as the Prophet ﷺ did in Mecca. And at the end of like that decade or so, it reached a point where it just seemed like the people communicated that we're just not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the same kind of dynamic in Mecca, where the Meccans were like, just like, you know what? We're just not interested, and we're never going to be interested. And the Prophet ﷺ went to Taif as well, because he was kind of like, all right, then let me explore some other opportunities. And Taif didn't end up working out, interestingly. And like you said, on the way back from Taif, by running into that man, by meeting that man, Adas, who was from there, and he was a Christian. And then that all kind of brought that whole connection together, that as bad as the situation, and that's where I wanted to make the connection to, like you were saying, to the inspiration, how we can find connection here, that even the Prophet ﷺ found connection there, that as bad as the situation is, you gotta be humble in front of Allah and just, well, first of all, you gotta just stick to the game plan and be devout and dedicated and obedient to Allah. And I'm just going to keep doing this as long as you tell me to do it. I'm not going to obsess over the details. I'm not going to obsess over, you know, the reactions of the people. I'm here to do my job. I'm going to do my job. And that's why, after being informed of what happened with the Prophet Yunus, that he went ahead and just kind of estimated the situation. Like you said, his estimation really wasn't wrong or off or incorrect.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam developed this very heightened sensitivity, so that even when the Medinan people came and they became Muslim and they said, we'd love to welcome Muslims over there and we'd love for you to come over there, and the Prophet ﷺ started sending the oppressed Muslims from Mecca to Medina, they were migrating there so they could live there safely. The Prophet ﷺ himself was just sitting back, and they said, aren't you going to come? And he said, nope, not right now.
Not until I get the command. Yeah.
Not until I get the word from Allah.
Yeah.
And he waited and waited and waited and waited until finally that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, leave tonight. And then he picked up and then he went. And the rest is history. And, you know, as you mentioned about the beautiful dua, that the theme kind of the dua itself, though, now when you find yourself in that situation, how do you get out? Humility is the only way out. Mm. Humility is the only way out, right? If I have had a misstep or a miscalculation, or in our case, you know, I've made a mistake and I've committed a sin, trying to justify and validate it and argue it and fight it, it doesn't help the situation. You're dealing with Allah. The thing to do is to just be humble, and that's what he said, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, you are perfect. I'm the one who's made a mistake here. I'm the one in error here. You are perfect, oh Allah. And subhanAllah, the verbiage, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, we answered his prayer immediately. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ, we saved him from his situation. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and this is how we will always rescue and save the believers, that anytime they mess up, anytime they make a mistake, all they need to say is, Ya Allah, you're right and I'm wrong. And Allah says immediately, Allah will save you every single time. That's the power of humility.
SubhanAllah. And it just hit me actually, Sheikh, that, you know, if you look at this on the spectrum, on one side you have like Yunus, and then on the other side you have Iblis. And in Iblis's scenario, there's zero ownership. Right? And in fact, it's not even zero ownership. He deflects it to Allah. Right? Aghwaytani. That you're the one that have, you know. So it's interesting, subhanAllah, like you have Yunus who's just like showing us the sheer and utter power of being humble before Allah. Yeah. And you have Iblis that's showing us the destruction of not owning up to it. The arrogance of not owning up to it. And what can happen to a person. You know, Allah Ta'ala tells us that Yunus gets better than what he got before. And Allah Ta'ala tells us that Iblis becomes the one who is known, right? Accursed, doomed, damned, and for the rest of time will be known with just the air of negativity and humiliation. So it's almost like the hadith mentions that a person who humbles himself before Allah, Allah will raise that person. And the one who is arrogant before Allah, Allah will humble that person. Allah will lower that person. And so this element of dua, you know, coming to Allah, that word that we mentioned, Shaykh, when you and I talked, tadarru'an, right?
Yes.
With this sense of humility, realizing that Allah...
This vulnerability of just, I messed up, Ya Allah.
Please. Yeah. And realizing that Allah Ta'ala is the one that is saving you. You know, tadarru'an, we talked about this too before, that it comes from a similar root word that has to do with nursing, right? That the child who's nursing from their mother realizes where the sustenance is coming from, right? Absolutely. They know it. Like children have this, even if they can't talk, babies, they know where the sustenance is coming from. And so it's almost like Allah using that verb is showing us, you have to know where it's coming from. You have to know where all the goodness in your life that's coming from, all the nourishment, all the sustenance. And the only way you do that is by being humble. Being humble. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us that humility, to make us people that turn to Allah and don't blame Allah for anything, but rather we can see Allah Ta'ala's greatness and perfection, and that motivates us to work on our own imperfections. Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh. Barakallahu feekum. I know that we don't want to block the Quranathon that's about to finish tonight, inshallah.
Yeah, they're going to finish tonight, inshallah. So if anyone's, you know, got the ability, the opportunity, you'll get to follow along the last six juz of the Quran with our students and our reciters, our mashallah hafaz, and they're going to then conclude, and then they're going to have like a very powerful dua for the completion of the Quran. So we're all looking forward to it. The folks on Facebook and
Sheikh, might we see you hop in for a juz, Sheikh?
Wallahi, I really, really want to. The problem is that I'm going to take like 45 minutes to read a juz because I read like molasses.
Last night, Mufti Kamani and Hafiz Abdullah, your brother, hopped on.
Yeah, I just worry about throwing the pace off too much. So that's my only concern.
Inshallah. But yeah, so if you want to hop on, inshallah, we were going to get off so they can get on, inshallah, and they can stream. For those of y'all on Instagram, if you want to just listen to some Quran tonight and have some Quran playing, put some barakah into your home, then go ahead and head to the YouTube channel or the Quran Facebook page, either one. It'll be on there. Jazakumullah khairan. And tomorrow night we will be reconvening with our series with the dua Sheikh is going to cover of.
Well, no, Yusuf. Tomorrow we have the.
Sorry, not tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the Qalam Qiyam. I apologize. Thank you for catching that. So we have our 27th night Qiyam, a great program, inshallah. Check out for details on our social media. On Wednesday night, we're going to be reconvening with this series with Prophet Yusuf, the dua of protection, inshallah. And the Sheikh of the Nas will be leading us there. So we'll see everyone, inshallah, tonight, tomorrow night, and the night after, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.